Thank you, Alistair. As I mentioned to you before, today is a special day. Hands up those who have been on a short-term mission trip before. Maybe it might recount some joys and some difficulties about what that was like for you as you proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ in another culture. So we're going to today look at, close off our series, as I said this morning, on Matthew. As Jesus is preparing to go to be with his Father and sit down at his right hand, we see three things in this passage: a claim, a comfort, and a command. And we're going to explore what that looks like this morning in our own hearts, not just for those guys who are going to Fiji next Sunday morning. So open up your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28. So the scene is set. We've just been through the Passion Week. We have seen Jesus suffer and die a horrible death on Friday, and miraculously risen again on the Sunday. And now we come to the point where he commissions his followers, not just the 11, not just the extended group, but every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is to take this command to their heart. Let's read from verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." So again, a group of kids will stand up here, and Richard and Jess as their leaders, and we will say to them and pray for them before God today, go in the name of Jesus Christ and tell people by the way you conduct your lives and by your words what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. And each of us have that privilege. My hope today as we go through this passage of Scripture that your heart will be stirred on mission. Not just global mission, but local mission. Household mission. A loving mission that extends faith in Jesus Christ to all people. My hope is also that out of that, as we prayed this morning in our office, that some of you today might stir in your heart as the Spirit ministers to you that maybe there is a call on your life to cross-cultural mission. You may be sitting there now even contemplating that, or have contemplated that. What does that look like for you? You see, are you the person to go to the least reached and unreached peoples of this planet? Are you the one? Well, where are those people? Well, flick across to Acts and let's find out what Jesus said to his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, a question: will you restore the kingdom at this point? Verse 7. It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Don't worry about that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the utter ends of the earth. You can say that that's prescribed. So what is our reality here? Well, we could say in Whitby, northern Porirua, Porirua, Wellington, New Zealand, and the uttermost parts of the earth. But what about in our households? What about in our street? What about to those we meet every day in our workplaces? If it's prescriptive, it's everyone we come in contact with. Are you being those people of God? What an adventure it is to be a Christian in a day and age where people are rebelling against God's holy ordinances? Do you get a sense of that? It's getting a bit tougher to proclaim the goodness of God. I think it's a fantastic time to be a Christian. And we're going to explore what that looks like. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come today, let us be mindful of what Christ has done. Let us be mindful of the horrible death that he suffered and the glorious resurrection. And then he appeared to 500 or so people. He gave instructions and then was raised up and sat down at the right hand of yourself. We thank you that he sent a comforter. We thank you for the Spirit that indwells for those of us who believe in your Son. So help us today, Father, understand the responsibility we have and take it to heart without fear, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I see this text divided up into three things. Jesus has been very specific. And the first thing we start off with is a claim to his authority. You see, it's his authority. All authority is given to me. Who gave it to him? By God the Father. Do you recognize that he is the one who has the authority? What authority does he have over humanity? Well, he died for humanity's sin. He became a victor over guilt and condemnation. He has been raised from the dead to triumph over the sin that beset all humanity. Right since way back when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. The triumph, he has won a decisive victory over Satan. Amen. The accuser's tactic is to render you paralyzed with guilt, to make you useless for the gospel spreading. That's what he wants to do to you. He can mess with your mind. He wants you to suffer in your faith. But Jesus wrought that victory for us, and he has all authority. Why does he have authority? Philippians 2, 9 and 11 says, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God the Father has said, here is my Son. And we know from the text in the Gospels, here is my Son, with him I am well pleased. You see, it's no secret that Jesus came and died and now has all authority over all of our affairs. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. He has authority over satanic forces, angelic hosts, the good, the bad, the ugly. He has dominion over the natural universe, stars, galaxies, planets, meteorites, weather patterns. Praise him for this summer. Sun, rain, snow, not so much. Tides, cyclones and so on. He is the author of atoms, electrons, protons, neutrons, genetic structures, DNA and chromosomes. He has authority over plant life, animals, fish of the sea and birds of the air. He is sovereign over parliaments, industries, family and the head of the church. He is the one who has authority over every soul that has lived, is living and will ever live before he returns again. In short, there is nothing on heaven or on earth that Jesus does not have authority over. Does he have authority over your life? Do you submit your life to him on a moment by moment basis, every single day, every week, every month, every year, every decade that you've been alive? As a Christian believer, are you submitting to him or going your own way? He has authority over all things, and you yourselves, like me, are a thing. I used to get called a rotten thing sometimes. But now I'm a saved rotten thing. Everything that you have, you think you have, he has authority over you. He has the rights to exercise his power and to do whatever he pleases for his glory. That frightens us because we like to be in control. I won't ask for a hand-raising exercise of who likes to be in control. Do you like to exercise your authority over your own life by being a minute manager? Does God fit into minute management in your life? Does God fit into any plan of your life? You see, it's for His glory. And because Jesus is one with God the Father and one with the Holy Spirit, three persons in the Trinity, God gave Him the authority. Oh, God didn't stop being God. He can't do that. And the Spirit didn't stop being God when all authority was handed over to Jesus. But Jesus is your Saviour. Do you believe in Him? The Deity shares infinite love, infinite wisdom, infinite control over everything. He is the one who is undeniable that Jesus, being God, is your Saviour. Do you submit to His authority? And then we see in verse 20, He comforts us. He is with us. We read that passage that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon those in Pentecost. We receive the Spirit when we become believers. He's living inside of us. He is with us. And how long is He with us? To the very end of the age. This is our hope of comfort. There's three things I see in this comfort. In the comfort that He has, authority over all the earth, He is working together for our good, it says in Romans chapter 8. In Isaiah 41, Isaiah knew that I will help you, I will strengthen you, I will hold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And Paul speaking to a young pastor, Timothy, everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength. Who speaks this to us? The one who has all authority over heaven and earth. Are you getting the picture? Are you getting the picture that God has authority over you? It doesn't matter what you think you have authority over. He has authority over all things, not just some things. You might try to hold back, but He has authority over those things you're holding back. And what is the frequency of this comfort? I will be with you always, literally every day, without a break, without taking a sickie, without demanding 4 weeks holiday a year plus public holidays, 24/7, the all-powerful, all-ruling Jesus Christ does not take a holiday from this faithful promise of abiding with you. The writer of Hebrews says, be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never fail you and never forsake you. Have you been in a position where you think God has let you down? Because here is what I wanted to do, Lord. How come I haven't got this? I want this. Well, have you ever said these words? I believe the Lord is telling me to do this and do that. And it never materialized. And then God has let you down. Have you had the problem where people in the church have let you down, accused you of things, done things to make your life miserable? Have you ever had that happen to you? Well, this is what I know, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again for those individuals. And He loves those individuals. And they may have gaffed it. But do you know what I know? That He can cover over every sin mankind has ever committed against you. And if He loves them, we need to extend love and forgiveness to other people. He will comfort us always. Be content with what you have. Seek Him in all things. He will never fail you. And He will never forsake you, even though you've felt forsaken and alone and maybe frustrated. And how long will this comfort last? He says, I am with you to the end of the age. And this is what I know. Life is an interesting beast sometimes, and disappointments happen, and things get separated. But God says through His Son that I am always with you. You will never be alone. I am standing right there with you on every single day of your life. For emphasis. And loving you. And comforting you. And being with you. You see, he said, I am the one that puts everything, all my enemies under my feet. And my enemies are your enemies. But I paid the price for your enemies. Pray for them and love them. He rose again, triumphant over sin and guilt and condemnation. And he suffered death. He has authority in heaven and on earth. This one, this Jesus, who we celebrated last week, who we were reconciled to. He comforts us by promising that he will always continually be with us to the end of the age. He will do good things for us. He will help us grow and strengthen us. Sometimes willingly, we participate, and other times unwilling to participate. Do you participate willingly? What does that look like for you? When you fight against God, what has that been like? Oh, I want you to think of some things that come to mind when you've done that. I know when I've done that and sort of fought against what God wants me to do and been reluctant, it hasn't gone too well. Frustrations come. I can feel bitterness and anger rise. But when I relent and give in, doesn't necessarily be moving smoother, but there's a peace that goes with that. An undeniable peace that the Holy Spirit is working with me. And he does the same for you. Just think back on your lives for a minute, the time where you fought against God. What did that look like for you? You see, submission is a horrible thing. Because we don't like to be in submission. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, things have been tilted all upside down and around the wrong way. And we can go back to that one incident while we are in a mess in this world today. But I know that there's hope through these things. God, man, Jesus has authority over all things. And he promised that he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help us. So God has done all that. We didn't do a whole lot of that, did we? The only thing we did is participate in sin while Jesus died on the cross for all humanity. That's what we did. That was our part. He done the rest. But now that he's done the rest, what do we do? What's his command to us? Well, his command is go and make disciples. You see, I find this really funny. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. So here's God's plan to proclaim his Son. He's taking people like me and you, broken vessels, weak vessels, to be his vessels, to proclaim his Son across the whole world. That's you and us. That's his plan. How do you feel about that? He's using people that are not very impressive. People that think highly of themselves. Sinful creatures. Imperfect. You feel encouraged yet? He's using us. I'm sure that he got it wrong. But I know that he didn't because of what it says here. He's saying, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Broken vessels like us, proclaiming his majesty in global outreach. The Lord has a sense of humor. He He has a big sense of humour. But He requires that of us. And in doing so, we worship and we fellowship with each other and Him. He is strong enough when we are weak. And He wants us to reconcile every culture, every ethnicity, every society, every language group, where Jesus needs to have the authority over them, so they might worship Him like we do today and give Him the glory. You see the difference? They might worship Him and give Him the glory. He has authority to be our King, our Lord and Saviour, everywhere in this world. And yet He can set that demand, whether you like it or not, and whether I like it or not. He can command that. Because you didn't die on the cross, He did. You didn't rise again, He did. And He saved us. He's the author. He has supremacy. He has supremacy over every other religion. He has supremacy over every other culture. He has supremacy over every society. It is the basis of His truth. It is the basis of our proclamation. It is the authority He gives us. It is the comfort He strives with us in. And it's the command that He gives us. Jesus Christ, the living, all authoritative Lord of all, has commanded us. That's all of us. At the camp, John said, it's not easy sometimes, but it's not that hard either. You've just got to open your mouth and say, this is why Jesus loves me. You see, Christianity is not a comfortable faith. It's a missionary faith. It's sacrificial. It's hard work. But it's desiring for the best, desiring the best for those people who will hear. It is loving those people for what message you have for them. You see, if you really love Jesus, don't you want other people to love Jesus? Or are you keeping it for yourself? We need everybody to know He is authoritative Lord of all. That's all of us. It's not easy. Our own mission statement here at the church, together transforming people into devoted, passionate ambassadors for Christ. Well, Jesus does the transformation through His Spirit. We proclaim. We aim to make disciples. We aim to state the case for Christ with all we meet. We don't do it by trickery or deceit or entrapment. Far too often I've heard people trying to set people up in gospel bearing. You're not trying to win an argument. God is at work through the Spirit trying to win a soul for Himself. You proclaim His grace and His mercy. Don't try to set people up for a fall. That doesn't win anything. Instead, be generous with your time. Be loving. Understanding it is not easy. You see, because we have the best news, the greatest news. As my kids used to say when they were little, the gooderest news. The best news ever. And we do it with a loving attitude because after all, the cross of Christ expresses love. The man that hung on a cross expresses love. The guy that died expresses love. The one that rose expresses love. The one that sent the Spirit expresses love. The Father from heaven expresses love. For God so loved the world. He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal. Do you want people to have life? The Holy Spirit is right there with you in the trenches. He brings the conviction. You see, I used to get it wrong. I thought I was the one that had to convict people. In the old days, I'd become a zealot, become a Christian, big mouth. I had to convince them to become a Christian, because if I was, everyone had to be. But then I learnt. My job was to proclaim and the Spirit's job was to convict. I had to reconcile Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in my heart. How can I unless someone tells me? How can I unless someone tells me? And it is a battle. We know that we are in a spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says the weapons of our warfare are not flesh. We see that reflected in Ephesians chapter 6. We fight with truth, with prayer, with love, with sacrifice, not with guns, fists, or munitions. We need not fear because Christ is with us. Our eternal commander-in-chief is right there directing our paths. The battle lines have been drawn. The battle lines were drawn, as we celebrated last week, some 2,000 years ago, that Jesus paid the price on a cross. And we know the curtain in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. God with us. God's helping us. God's strengthening us. So do you take your step? What step are you taking? If he has all authority and he's here with us even to the end of the age, and he commands us to go and make disciples, what's clear? He's saying to us he wants us to move. He wants us to act. He wants us to respond. Are you acting and responding? Are you mission-minded? Do you accept these truths that God is commanding you to move, to act, to respond? Do you understand that he's promised that he is with you? Do you know that? Do you still doubt that? He is motivating you to act. I have to keep saying it. You can't stand still. So it might be your time to respond. If the call of global missions is on your heart, and it has been on your heart, and you've kept it to yourself, go and talk to Jeff. Talk to him about the possibilities and what that looks like. If you need to proclaim the goodness of God through using our courses that we have here, come and see me. And we can train you. We just don't want to leave you in the lurch. If you believe that God has given you that gift to proclaim his goodness in those environments, please come and see. The next step you take might be just a little step, a toenail long. Or it might be a stride. Or it might be a running into the loving arms of God in these things. But it needs to be a step towards proclamation of the gospel. That is our command. Do not shy away from it. Stand firm and be faithful. So how can you respond? Well, here's a few things you can do. Set aside time to pray for those around you. Pray for your next door neighbours. Pray for your family. It sounds obvious, but from what the statistics I read and the average of about 2 minutes a day for the average Christian praying, that worries me. And we may need to change our habits in praying. Maybe it's a prayer something like this: Lord, please open the door so I might be able to proclaim the goodness of you too. And then name them. Be intentional. Lord, may you open the door of someone's heart that I may be able to proclaim the goodness of you, especially this person. Respond by praying for our mission partners. You know, we pray for Polly. We've got Grant here next week. And if Ong can get his visa, he'll be here in a few weeks. The mission board's there. Perhaps stand there and just pray for those people as they do ministry through our partners. The guys from DBI. Pray for them on certain days a week. Write it down in your calendar. Or if you're like me, put it on your phone. Let it flash up. and pray. You may want to respond by praying for boldness to give an account of what Jesus means to you. How many of you have your testimony down pat of what God's done for you? How many know what to say about how Jesus has saved you from death and brought you into life? You see, I want to encourage you to write it down, to share your story of what faith means. And I know they're dear things to our hearts, because every time someone gets baptized in this church, the first thing that comes to mind, wasn't that fantastic? I just love their story. You see, stories are powerful things. Tell your story. I've been deliberate by trying to provoke a response. We have about 300 men, women and children who call the Anchor home, or consider themselves anchorites. I like that. I thought that was an inspired word. Anchorites. That'll be in the next newsletter, won't it, Catherine? To all you anchorites, in the loving name of Jesus. Alistair, you can start coming up now with your team. Call the music team back up. About 300 of us. Is that good? I believe that God has started a good work in us, but he is a long way from finished with us. Please be encouraged. All authority is Jesus Christ. He sends his comforter. We just have to do one thing. Open up our mouths and speak. That's it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching all things that you have commanded until the very end of the age, because you are with us. With such great comfort and the strength that is in us through your power, through the Holy Spirit, Father, help us to be brave and to be bold, and share the love of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.